If tonight's Big Brother left you craving anchovy and habanero frozen yogurt, get your very own frozen yogurt machine from Amazon.com. Whether it's a Froyo maker or anything else you need, get the best deals and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping using our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who knows nothing of this compromisation, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Big Brother Sunday night weekend Big Brother recap. And we are here going to go over everything from the Sunday night episode of Big Brother. And then we're going to get into another wild weekend on the Big Brother live feeds. And we have a very special guest joining us today. He is a man who knows about Big Brother north of the border and a great guest on Rob Has a Podcast. Here he is, Mr. Peter Brown.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the show.
Always good to hear from you, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I've very much enjoyed watching other people go through this crazy experience that I went through. All right. Just a few short months ago.
Plenty to talk with Peter about and get his take on Big Brother 15. And with us, as always, is our man watching the live feeds who lives and dies with everybody in the house, Mr. Brian Lynch. Brian, how are you?
I'm wonderful, as always.
Any frozen yogurt for you tonight, Brian?
Anchovy and habanero. I think I would like to try that, actually.
It was a night of yoga and yogurt in the Big Brother house, and we will cover it all. We're going to do what we normally do on Sunday night. We will talk about the episode that just happened, spoiler-free, recap the CBS version of the show, and then we will discuss in the second half of the show everything that went on the live feeds since the end of the show on Thursday and everything that we didn't get to see tonight. But first, we are here live on YouTube as well. If you are watching the video stream and not listening to us in our audio archives, and if you're watching us on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe to our channel. Never miss an episode of Rob Has a Podcast. And we are very close to a milestone on Facebook as well. We are about 30 likes short of hitting 5,000 on the Rob Has a Podcast Facebook fan page. So help us get to this milestone. If you do not like our fan page yet and would like to do so, go to facebook.com/Rob Has a Podcast. All right. So let's jump into this first here. And let's talk about Judd and being the HOH. And we said on Thursday night this was not a great spot for him to win the HOH. And it seemed like he even came to that conclusion during this episode.
Yeah, King Judd was finally crowned. I don't know where that nickname came from, but I love it. I think Judd is great, but I am inclined to agree. I don't think winning at this point is going to do him a lot of benefit, especially for his long-term game. He was playing so well, so under the radar up until that point, and now he's in a position where he's got so many people in his ear. One side of the house is telling him one thing, the other side of the house is telling him another thing. He has to do what's best for him, but with all of these opinions, he has put himself now in a position where a lot of people can get mad at him, which can be troublesome this early in the game.
King Judd just kind of stuck with him. He really had nothing. We had nothing else to cling to with him. He really had very little personality through, at least on the CBS show. And then he put a crown on. He's just King Judd now.
Yeah.
Similar to the Macho King and King Owen Hart.
Yes, that's great wrestling references. I, as a pro wrestling fan, can certainly appreciate that. Judd, in fact, does a wrestling shout out, intentionally or not, I'm not sure, at the end of the episode. But yeah, sometimes you just got to give someone a gimmick and then let them run with that gimmick. And if King Judd is going to sell T-shirts, then put me down to buy one.
Yeah, he really had nothing else going on. So he is the king. And it was not a great week for him to be the HOH because he really wasn't in any sort of trouble now. And now he's really on everybody's radar. One of the things I noticed with him walking around with the crown, I thought this was very interesting and a subtle thing. Do you think that wearing the crown around the house was a good thing or a bad thing?
I thought it was a funny thing. But I don't know. I think he's so likable that most of the people in the house aren't going to see that as negative or like boisterous or showboaty or whatever, because he's such a subdued kind of guy. He's go with the flow. You know, he's very easygoing. Now, if he was a much bigger personality, let's say that's Jeremy who's walking around with the crown, everybody's going to turn that on him so quickly because of that, because of the arrogance behind it. But I think it's probably just a cutesy little thing that I don't think is going to be that detrimental for him in the moment.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown in the Big Brother house.
True. Very true.
Say. This is a interactive show, of course. We are going to be taking your questions and comments throughout the show. You can do that a couple different ways. Here on YouTube, if you comment on the video, we can go ahead and bring your comments in, as well as if you send us a tweet using the hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is here with us tonight behind the scenes, and he is pulling comments that are coming from you guys. So we'll take a bunch of questions and comments as we go along here during the show. Now, I really felt like for Judd, not that I'm the biggest Judd fan in the world, but I'm starting to really get a dislike into Jesse, because here's Judd and he's got like this whole unrequited love for Jesse, and Jesse's talking about how horny she is and how she wants to get with Nick and she's going to be a stage five clinger and all of this stuff, and she can't even get a kiss on the lips from Jesse for Judd.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad for him in that moment. You know, like he's clearly looking for something. Like he gives it a little feel on the leg. And then even, I think it's who's sitting by them? Spencer, I think, is like, oh, you got to get at least a little lip action for winning HOH. And she turns him down. It's like, you're in the house. Everybody's kind of freewheeling it anyway. Give the poor man a kiss, especially because it's her. And she's been so adamant the entire time to hook up with anybody. And she was so excited when he won HOH. And then just on the cheek.
Yeah.
Come on.
This is terrible. This is really, really terrible. He should put her up on the block just for that.
Yeah. I mean, if he was that vindictive, and if somebody could get in his ear and be like, look, buddy, she's only going for you because you're in power and you're the only guy left, basically, who's a viable candidate for her. And if she's not giving it up, you might want to put her out. But I don't think he's going to be able to be swayed by that argument. He has lust in his eyes.
He can't get out of the friend zone. We talked about this early on in the season, stuck in the friend zone. There's no way out.
Yeah, especially in the house. I mean, once you get stuck in a particular role with somebody, it's really hard to re-navigate that and find a way around it. So I guess if he's spending all of his time with her, she might click into something. But once she's friend zoned him, and especially after that kiss, when he's in the ultimate position of power, Judd's chances at a real showman's this summer could be dwindling in front of our very eyes.
Peter, do you ever get stuck in the friend zone?
Yeah, I get stuck in the friend zone quite a lot. Before the house, anyway. Now that I was in the house and I've learned to be more confident about myself, I find myself being not stuck in that particular zone anymore. That's one thing, shockingly, that the house was able to do for me, is to teach me to be comfortable in myself in this real world, or, you know, whatever world I'm in now.
Brian, how bad is it on the live feeds? Is Judd just getting shot down by Jesse all the time?
When it comes to advances, yes, but she's, you know, made sure she got to sleep up in the HOH and tried to shut everything down at like 10 at night, turned the lights off, and Judd, you know, made everybody go up there and turn the lights back on and made her get up out of bed.
So she just said, went to bed and turned the lights off? I mean, what are they, married?
I think that's what Jesse wants the relationship to be like, because she would be able to control him in that way, I guess.
Yeah, this Jesse is really getting a good dislike from me into her, because I do not like how she's treating Judd.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, she hasn't done anything that's been noteworthy. Even on like on a personal thing, the only thing that I can recall from her is in the first week when she talked about how much better looking she was than anyone else. She hasn't done anything redemptive since then, and now she's mistreating Judd, who's probably one of the most likable people, generally speaking, in the cast. It doesn't really cast her in a very positive light.
Yeah. So at least Gina Marie has the right idea. Gina Marie sort of implies that she's going to put out this week and sort of let Judd think that he has a chance with her.
Sex sells, but the bigger question is, what exactly is it selling? And in Gina Marie's case, I don't know if there's a discount involved, maybe, but if that's her tactic to try to get in Judd's ear, is he that gullible? Maybe if he's really upset over the Jesse thing and she's showing him all this kind of attention is very valuable, especially in the house. And Gina Marie is an attractive woman with makeup. So I don't know if that's her tactic. I would like to see it at least attempt to play it out. It'd be a neat strategy.
Hey, you know, look, I got to do what I got to do. You know, if he's the HOH, I got to do, you know, a little something, you know, give him something. That's it. You know, come on. Don't be a scrub. Come on. And again, but somehow she even manages to avoid not going up on the block. So yeah. It seems to be working.
Yeah, it could be her confusion about the game and her being like basically left out of every major decision might end up putting her in a good position sooner or later.
But how about Caitlin? She said something that annoyed me tonight. She said to us that basically she thinks that the house owes her safety after they put her up on the block this week. Is there such a thing as the house owing you anything?
I wrote that down too. I was like, what are you talking about? Either she's very unfamiliar with how Big Brother works, or she has deluded herself into this situation where she thinks that she's been through the ringer enough and should be protected because of that. If you're vulnerable, people are going to recognize that and they're going to target that. Caitlin has proven herself to be very confident in competitions. She's always in the chalkboard round. She won the veto. Like, I mean, this girl is a big threat. And if she thinks that the house is just going to forget about her simply because her showmance is gone, I hate to break it to her, but I think she's got another thing coming.
So as Brian and I discussed on Thursday night, we felt like this was going to be a bad weekend for McCray and Amanda because we thought Judd was kind of a pushover, and we felt like if Judd's tight with Amanda and McCray, this is going to be Amanda coming in and trying to bulldoze her agenda, which is I need to get Howard up on the block, which we saw throughout the episode. And a couple of the other players, Judd seemed like he was getting annoyed. Andy said she's pushing way too hard with this. So tell us a little bit about when you're in the house and somebody has an agenda and they keep just beating a dead horse. Did you have that experience during your time on Big Brother Canada?
Yeah, we certainly did. And it was a somewhat comparable situation. Early on in the game, you had Liza, who was really, really pushing for Emmett. That was the only name that ever really come out of her mouth was Emmett. And it's not dissimilar to Amanda and Howard. There's a lot of overlap between Howard and Emmett. They're both likable, very fit guys that should be huge targets and for one reason or another aren't. So what ends up happening, though, is you have one person who's saying this, and then internally, for whatever reason, you flip that around and go, well, if you really want this, you have such a clear agenda. Maybe I'm going to flip it on you or not cooperate just so I can be on the other side of that. Like, for some reason, this is what goes through your head, even if you recognize it as a valuable move. Like, I think Amanda is correct in suggesting Howard as a target, but her approach is all wrong. And she's been doing so well within the game at this point. I think the more she's been very aggressive, but this is such an aggressive move, and I think that people might start to turn on her because of that. Because once you become known as a certain type of personality in the house, it's hard to shake that.
How long was Big Brother Canada? How many days was it?
71?
Okay.
Something like that, around there.
So this
around 70.
This game is going to be about 30 days longer than Big Brother Canada, and I'm sure that felt like an eternity to be there for such a long time. It's day, 29, day 30 here. It's just too early to be pushing this hard. I mean, we're 30% of the way there.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, there's this mentality of you got to make big moves. Well, that's true, but it's also true contextually. And making all of these colossal moves or making such hard pushes for things when you're within the first 4 to 6 weeks really is not going to do you any service, especially if you're trying to think of the end game. Because you can't think of the end game in week 4 or 3 or 4 or whatever we're in because there's so much left to play. So if Amanda had, like, Amanda can get rid of Howard at some point. She recognizes an opportunity to do so, but if it's, no one's taking the bait, if no one's biting on it, then back off, ease off, take your shot sometime else, because you don't want to make everybody else think that you have such a one-track mind. You don't want anybody to think you have tunnel vision, because then they're probably going to flip it on you somehow. Like, I can see that, you know, people have been talking about backdooring Amanda, if that's an option, maybe simply because she seems to be the only one in there who has a clear-cut target. She's, you know, rivals with Howard without Howard knowing it.
Yeah, it's too aggressive in the early stages of the game. You really want to just ride it out and be much more behind the scenes. You just can't be that blunt in the Big Brother house. And I think that Amanda, who I like very much, this is going to be a problem for her sooner than later.
Yeah, she may. She's obviously a very strong female presence. And internally, I would suggest that she probably thinks she's controlling the house. She, I would think, based on the information that I have, she basically knows where everybody's aligned, knows where the pairings are. So she's probably thinking, I've got this on lockdown at this point. And if you're starting to think that you've got it on lockdown within the first month, you're setting yourself up for a big, big, big fall. And I don't want to see that happen to her, because she's probably my most favorite person in the house right now.
Yeah, I'm. If this was Peter Brown in the Big Brother U.S. house instead of McRae, would this showmance be happening right now?
I would be pushing for that showmance if I was in McRae's position. I am very jealous of McRae. I find Amanda incredibly attractive. She has the best DRs, and she's very smart. I am in lust with this girl. I would certainly try to be showmancing her, but I would recognize, as McRae is not, that she needs to reel it in. McRae's being very passive about her gameplay, and even though that makes her a bigger target than him, if he's thinking about it from a pair's perspective, I think that he might want to have a talk with her about adjusting her viciousness for at least a week or two.
Yeah, reeling it back in. All right, so we have another showmance going on in the house. This time we have Candace and Howard. Love is blooming. Is this the silver lining to all of the racism in the house, that it's brought Candace and Howard together?
Yeah, I suppose you could look at it like that. I like Candace and I like Howard and I like them together. They are a dangerous pairing, though. And if I see that as an outsider, I'm going to want to break it up pretty quickly, just because I think they have the capacity to do a lot of damage together. But them as a budding romance, I think it's kind of sweet to see. Candace said, they're both Christian. They both have a lot in common. Sometimes it's nice to see real kind of relationships develop in these shows, because it's such a hectic situation when you're in there.
Like Jillian and Emmett.
Yeah, true. That's Jillian and Emmett bonded in the house, and they are still together to this day, to the best of my knowledge anyway. Real relationships do form in these unrealistic places, and I think that's a testament to how real it actually is in there.
Now, Brian, it seemed very tame, everything with Candace and Howard, at least by McRae and Amanda standards. So is there more than meets the eye here on the live feeds? Has this relationship, was this just the TV-friendly version of this?
I feel like what they showed on TV is basically what has happened. So it hasn't went any farther than that. So I don't really know what's going to happen.
So is this a showmance more of the Shane and Danielle variety, where it's being made out to be a little bit more than it actually is?
I wouldn't say that. It kind of looks like that they were just coming together and flirting around.
Taking it slow.
Taking it slow. And that's basically what it is. I do think that they really like each other.
Okay. All right.
But I'm not the expert on relationships in the house. So. I'm always wrong about them.
All right. Well, taking it slow, I guess, is good advice when it comes to relationships as well. I want to know, Peter, you're a very knowledgeable guy. Is that penguin thing true, that the penguins give each other a pebble and then that means that you're going steady?
I don't know, but it's something. It made me want to look it up. So, you know, Big Brother is encouraging people to go out and look things up on the interwebs to see if they're authentic or not. I think that's very adorable. the penguin thing. That's a pretty good line that she pulled out. Howard didn't really react to it in the way that I think she was wanting, but I thought that was a cute little moment.
Yeah, that wasn't just something that like happened in like Happy Feet or Ice Age.
I don't know. I don't really like those CGI animated cartoons. I find that their detachment. I'd rather see like traditional hand drawn animation. So I can't really speak to that. I've not seen these penguin themed kids movies.
Okay, so we'll see if we can find out that answer as we go along here live on a Sunday night. So we had a bit of a feud coming up here between two of the less popular cast members of Big Brother 15. And we had a little bit of a beef between Aaron and Gina Marie tonight. And Aaron is realizing that her alliance is a little out of touch.
Yeah, correctly. You know, she has assessed the situation and realizes that specifically Gina Marie and Caitlin, to an extent, really have no idea what's going on in the house. And that's very true. When they started arguing, to me, what I thought is, are they arguing over arguing? Because the conflict didn't really have a theme, didn't really have a point. I didn't really know what they were at each other about, the way that they were communicating. I don't know. It was basically just, I think, Aaron being frustrated that the people that are supposed to be close to her really have no idea what's going on in the game. And on the other side of it, they're probably, Gina Marie and Caitlin are probably frustrated because they have no idea what's going on in the game. So, I don't know. I think that was probably just to highlight a moment to show dissension for dissension's sake. I really don't think that's going to have any long-term effects. But Aaron is correct. They don't know what's going on, and they need to start figuring it out quick.
I see Luna in the chat room says the penguin pebble thing is a real thing. Yes. All right. So Candace knows about the animals. So
I like it.
The Gina Marie and Aaron thing, it was like Aaron's like, well, I guess we're just going to have to get ready. But we're going up on the block this week. And Gina Marie and Caitlin are like, no, I don't think so. And then she's like, no, seriously, I just talked to Judd and I'm pretty sure we're going up on the block. And they're like, no. And then Gina Marie is like, hey, come on, you just got to stay. You got to stay positive. You got like this whole negative thing going on. And it's funny to hear Gina Marie as like the zen voice of optimism, and you got to, you know, keep a positive attitude. Where is this when anytime the word Nick gets brought up?
Yeah, there's a difference between optimism and delusion, I think, in Gina Marie's case. She is blind to what's going on in the house, blind to her love to Nick. I mean, I get falling for someone in there, but she's really taking it to a level that I haven't seen before. Blind optimism in the Big Brother house is something that's going to get you in trouble. You have to be aware of what's going on. You have to take every bit of information you get, even if it is faulty information or you think it's faulty information. You do have to think, okay, who's this coming from and why? So poor Gina Marie, who's just trying to be positive, could be positively in trouble in very short amount of time, I think, even though she's a waste of an HOH, as they say.
Can she figure out a way to shoehorn Nick into any conversation of no matter what they're talking about? Say, oh, my God, it's just like with me and Nick. It was like the whole thing. It's like, okay, well, we were talking about, you know, what we're going to eat later. So it really had nothing to do with Nick. But she gets Nick into everything. And Nick is worried. She's worried he's going to get wifed up over the summer. I know Big Brother's a long season, but this was a concern that Nick, maybe like Peter Brown, might find newfound confidence and find a new lady friend this summer.
I would suggest that Nick was probably a fairly confident individual prior to entering the house. To suggest that he would be wiped up, as Gina Marie says, by the time she gets out of there, really speaks to the level of disconnect that you have. When you're in there, your entire lives are revolved around those other people, however many other people are in the house. So for her to constantly go back to Nick, that's her only point of reference. So I get it makes sense. It's a little much, but I do get it, even though it is I fear for him when she gets out of there, because he is going to deal, maybe he likes her, I don't know, but he's going to have to deal with a very, very interested woman coming straight his way.
Right. I tweeted to at Nick Juhas earlier tonight to ask him if he was wifed up yet. And he did reply to me and said, well, not quite yet, with a winky face, which I don't know. Maybe that means he really is wifed up. A lot can happen in 2 weeks.
If that's true, then he moves very quickly. I mean, if he's gotten out of the house, unless it was some like ex-girlfriendy kind of thing that they got back together within the 2 weeks or whatever that he's been out of there, that wouldn't be – it would still be surprising. But if he's met someone new and they're already in the, hey, we should get married phase of the relationship, then Mr. Juhas is a fast-moving individual.
Now, here's what I think happened. So I think Nick is watching all these episodes of Big Brother and is like, oh, my God, I have no idea what I got involved in. And so he's just found, like, anybody and is like, well, will you marry me? Will you marry me? Will somebody marry me? And then when Gina Marie gets out of the house, like, oh, I got married.
Yeah.
Oh, too bad. Too bad you made the jury because we could have. But now I'm married. So
that would crush her. She would need therapy immediately. They would have to send her to the show psychologist, and she would never return.
My wife doesn't want me hanging out with you, so don't ever come here. So that would be Nick. If you're listening, this is the plan. Go for that.
Strategy.
All right. So let's see. So after Aaron and Gina Marie get into a we have a frozen yogurt. I actually enjoyed a have and have not competition for once. This was good.
Yeah. I think I would have sucked at that have not competition.
Now, would you even eat? Do you even eat frozen yogurt on a good day? I know that you have a very restricted diet.
Yeah. I would be all right with the. Like the chocolate vanilla or frozen yogurt that they had, but whatever the fish one was, that would be really, really difficult for me to do because it's like a creamy thing. Ugh, maybe I could have got through it, but that would have been a hard, hard comp. And like you, Gina Marie, you can see her stomach; like she looked pregnant at the end, and like this is very discouraging to watch.
Anchovy and habanero.
Yeah. Ugh. Just not so tantalizing.
All right. Now, Brian, is it true that this is what I had heard, that Aaron on the live feeds was discussing how she thought that the frozen yogurt in the challenge was so gross that they could combine vanilla and chocolate?
I didn't hear that, but I do know that there was a bunch of house guests that said that they puked. They didn't really show who was that was gagging up, McCray. Alyssa puked because she saw that. And it just reminded me of Big Brother Canada and Emmett spewing all that milk and how they just showed it. They didn't care.
So. Yeah. You just can't have that much dairy in that condensed amount of time. You're going to throw up.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. And then we saw that Gina Marie, boy, how in the world did she prepare for this sort of a challenge that she just seems was able to swallow all of that ice cream?
Yeah, that was
didn't miss a
borderline
beat.
Erotic watching her slurp that down. I don't know if that's such a PG moment.
And Aaron, it was the very much the opposite. She could not swallow all that ice cream. She was just spitting it out left and right.
So, I mean, good news for Nick, bad news for David, I guess.
Yeah. So, very, very, very interesting challenge there in the Big Brother house in the
Froyo. Very revealing.
Yes. We learned a lot about everybody. Boy, and Amanda, she was also putting that ice cream down. Now,
yeah.
Is this insensitive that to my, you know, very quick glance here, maybe I'm thinking maybe a week as a have not for Amanda might not be the worst thing at this point in time.
For whatever reason do you mean?
Looks like you know, sometimes it goes either way in the Big Brother house, where some people go in the Big Brother house and then they lose a lot of weight over the summer. I feel like Amanda is on, and we see this a lot of times with the female house guests occasionally. She seems to be going that other direction.
Yeah, your day ends up being revolved around what are you going to eat, and you get bored a lot, and then you just snack on things. And so I think this is probably what's happening to Amanda. Don't get me wrong. I still think that she's a 10. But you should maybe be mindful of how much you're ingesting. I think, wasn't Danielle that last year? Like, she kind of...
It happens. It's a thing, you know. No big deal.
You just forget.
Yeah, you get out of the house and you correct it. But sometimes the Big Brother house can do that to some people. Brian, has Amanda been a have-not yet?
Yes.
Oh.
I think so, hasn't she?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think once or twice. Or is this her second time?
No, I know she was at least once because her and McRae were sleeping on separate airplane seats at one point.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, but no, Amanda, not a have-not this week, right?
Right.
Who were the have-nots? Which team lost? It was the team with Spencer.
Oh, yeah.
Spencer,
yeah.
Andy. Who else?
And Helen.
Okay. That was very funny when Spencer looked like the big orange cat. That was very, very funny. I like this challenge.
Yeah, Andy got a kick out of all the white stuff on his beard for whatever reason.
Yeah. All right. So, and even though McRae puked by the end of the challenge, his team still comes in second place, and we have more have-nots for the week. Andy, though, is wasting away as another have-not.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guy. It's the one element of the game that you get inside. It's the least relevant part of the show, the have-not. You see them in the diary room going, oh, I can't take this anymore. It's awful, and I got to win this have-not competition. That's basically it. You don't see how drained they become. You can't feel how difficult it is to be without food for that amount of time. Like, I really struggled with being a have-not, and everybody else did too. Even in my season, Andrew said I could do it for the whole season easy. It kicked his butt 2 or 3 days in like it kicks everybody else's butt. Alec did it 3 weeks in a row consecutively. Have not is so difficult, and that's the one element that I really wish that they had more time for to show how damaging it can be on your psyche and your energy level, because it's a huge component in the day-to-day interactions in the house.
It was no problem for Glitter Gary.
Yeah, he took it in stride. He did it, bucked up, was a man about it. He had no problems with the idea of being a have-not at all.
Yeah. Speaking of your Big Brother Canada housemates, now I know you are planning a big, we're getting you at right before you're about to leave Canada and head down south to the U.S. You're coming to California. Is this the official Big Brother Canada U.S. tour next week?
I would suggest that it's the unofficial invasion of what I hope to be the origin point of a Canada-U.S. series at some point. But
the World
it will
Cup.
Be my, sorry?
The World Cup of Big Brother. Yeah,
exactly. I would love to see that. So it'll be myself, Alec, Topaz, Tala, and Liza. We're all going down together to meet up with all of the California Big Brother people, and of course you, Rob, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to spend a lot of time together. It's going to be a merging of worlds, and probably be pretty dramatic, as these things often are when you put a bunch of Big Brother people in the same room at the same time.
All right. Is it true that the Big Brother Canada castmates are hosting a competition at the Big Brother US house this week?
I don't know if that is true. I am not involved, and I am very jealous for those who are.
All right. We'll see if that comes to fruition with if you guys are close enough. We'll see if they throw anybody into the house or
that
at least a competition.
That would be fun.
All right. So we also had Alyssa giving Howard some yoga advice. That was sort of a funny moment with Howard basically dying doing some yoga.
Yeah, I felt bad for him, but it's like, she does this for a living. This is probably the first time he would ever do it. That's like if he took her to do, like, heavy weightlifting and stuff. So, yeah, it was comical watching him struggle through it. But I'm sure it would be comical to watch anybody struggle through it doing it the first time. Yoga's really hard, and she does it every day. Howard, for as big as he is, had a really tough time, which is funny.
Poor Howard. And then we get a little more strategizing where Amanda really pushing that we got to get Howard out of the house, got to get Howard out of the house. But unfortunately, it falls on deaf ears as Judd ends up going with his nominations of The old standard, Aaron and Caitlin are the two nominees. And Aaron, in true Aaron fashion, she that Judd calls her a Texas tornado, and she says she has such a big target on her back, even a blind kid could hit her.
Yeah. Well, Texas Tornado, that was the other wrestling reference that I was happy that Judd fit in, whether he realized it or not.
Kerry Von Erich? Yeah. Is that the right guy?
Yeah, Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich. Yeah, part of the illustrious Von Erich wrestling family. I don't know. If I'm Caitlin and Aaron at this point, I'm going to go, hold on. None of the people that have been nominated by an HOH has went home. I should be the safest person in the entire house.
Yeah.
It's only the MVP nominee that has went home 3 for 3. So if I'm them, I'm going, I can relax for the rest of the week. Now, the reason why obviously Judd didn't nominate Howard and Spencer or Howard and blank is because from Judd's perspective, he sees these people as allies who are not going to put him up. And this is correct. Like, I mean, Judd's making the best move for him, but he's making other people angry because of it. I understand his rationale because they're not. Howard and Spencer are not going to put Judd up on the block. So he's protecting himself, which is, I think, the correct move ultimately. And it's so easy to nominate Aaron and Caitlin. But if I'm them, I'm like, I might be all right.
Yeah, you don't know. And they don't even have any idea about the MVP twist for this week. And we'll talk about that with Brian in just a couple moments. Before we get to the live feed stuff, let me ask you the one thing that I had been wondering if you felt this way was I felt like there was a lot of comparisons between Jeremy and his gameplay and Tom and his gameplay on your season. Did you feel that comparison as well?
I certainly understand the point of comparison between those two characters. Here's the thing. Tom thought that he was basically going to control the entire game every week, no matter who was the HOH. He literally thought that he could go, okay, this week I'm getting this person out. This week I'm getting this person out. Like, he really thought it was going to be just a controlling of the whole thing. I don't know that Jeremy really thought that. In fact, I would even make the suggestion that Jeremy is a better player than Tom because he had the foresight to realize that he was in a lot of danger and he started doing damage control much earlier than he probably should have. Tom didn't attempt to do that at all and was quite blind to the situation, as the term goes, when he got blindsided out. Jeremy knew he was going and he knew exactly why, and he tried to fix that in time. He just wasn't able to. He got kind of a redemptive edit, I thought, from my perspective, and it kind of made me come around on him a little bit.
Now, we've had this season, which has been marred by a lot of the racism controversy. Now, you guys did not have that very much in Big Brother Canada. Are you does this disgust you to see Big Brother contestants behaving in this manner? Could they be more civilized like Big Brother Canada contestants?
Our closest approximation was when Suzette yes. called Tom an effing redneck. That's not racially motivated. That's just an insult. we had our cast was racially diverse, and none of that ever come up. Anything similar or nothing. There's no comparison between theirs and ours. However, in there. I don't know. Like, I mean, does it disgust me? No, I think that's a little extreme. I've heard all the things that they've said before. Maybe that's just me being desensitized to it. Do I think that what they're saying is terrible? Absolutely. But I've heard it before. It's nothing new. And I don't know. I think for me to say someone is a racist implies hate, blind hate. I think that a lot of the things that they're saying are just really bad jokes. They're racially motivated, mean-spirited jokes, and they're insensitive, and they certainly shouldn't be said. But I don't know that I would qualify any of the Aaron or Gina Marie or Spencer or whomever else has said these things as a racist. Are they bad racially motivated jokes? Yes, but I'm not going to completely turn on them as a person. I'm not you know, I'm not going to turn away Gina Marie and turn away Aaron and turn away Spencer for saying one thing or two things or however many things they are. You know, because I think for me, if they get out of the house and watch the episodes back and say, hey, I shouldn't be doing this, these are bad things to say, and they fix that behavior, I think that's a positive thing, and I hope that that's what happens.
So if Aaron got out of the house and wanted to and was potentially up to date Peter Brown, would you date Aaron?
Yeah. I mean, well, wait, no, hold on. I mean, I don't like to give blanket answers, but like if I get along with Aaron and Aaron gets along with me, I can probably be all right with that. I'm not just going to like blank say yes to someone as I literally did. But anyway, like I'm not going to hold that completely against her, especially if the behavior changes. And that goes for anybody. If you can learn something about yourself and correct that behavior, I think that's the most important part. But I'm not going to you know, slander and vilify her because everybody else is going to when she gets out of there. Just because – I don't know. Some people just have a bad sense of humor and, you know, they're trying to be funny or they've heard a stand-up comedian say the same thing and then think that they can get the same kind of reaction and then they don't and then it gets blown out of proportion. I mean, I don't know. It's a very touchy subject, and me as a regular white guy, I'm obviously not going to be able to speak upon it. As you
I
know,
just
some
really wanted
be.
To know if the Canadians were sort of holding their heads high and said, didn't happen on our season. Didn't happen
maybe,
on Big Brother Canada.
Yeah. But I don't think Canadians would be so boisterous to do that. Like maybe a little bit internally, but you would never see any of us going, well, our season was so much more politically correct. I don't think it would ever happen.
All right. And well, if we're gonna really start to get into it, you know, not only does Canada have universal health care and they pay for you to have an operation, they also have free Big Brother live feeds. That's not the case here in the U.S. We have to pay for our live feeds, but you know, they are worth it sometimes. And this week, actually tomorrow, is the last call for the full season pass of Big Brother live feeds on CBS.com. So if you haven't signed up for the season pass and want to give it a shot, tomorrow is the last day, Monday, 12 p.m. Pacific. So if you want to get in on that, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/livefeeds and get a free 2-day trial and get in on the season pass for Big Brother, because then after Monday you have to subscribe to the monthly option, which not as cost effective as the season pass. So robhasawebsite.com/livefeeds. All right. So speaking of live feeds, you ready to get into the spoiler section? All right.
Absolutely.
So we're going to let everybody go. All right. All right. Warning. Spoilers ahead. Spoilers, all right. And what a prophetic conversation Brian Lynch and myself had on Thursday night about the ramifications of the Big Brother MVP. So we found out who America voted for. We have had a veto played and a lot to update us. So Brian, let's go through it piece by piece. Let's take it in the order that things happen. What did we find out first? Who was going up on the block?
Yes. Alyssa was taking a lot of heat about not being forthcoming about being MVP, and so some plans were discussed about maybe even backdooring her because of her untruthfulness. And then it comes out and bam, she's nominated, and everybody is confused about it.
Okay, so we have America got to vote for who should go up on the block. And this felt like this was the producers just throwing some red meat to all the fans that are angry about Aaron. And all, like, okay, so who would you like to see up on the block, America? And of course, everybody votes for Aaron. And then we can imagine people may have also voted for Caitlin, who both end up on the block anyway. So I guess conceivably we come down to the third person to get the most votes. And we wonder, how did this happen that the girl who gets the most votes for favorite player every week, the MVP, ends up nominated by America? And Peter Brown, I ask you, did America pull a Topaz?
I think that they may have pulled a Topaz. They're nothing if they're not consistent. The viewing audience of Big Brother USA They vote for Alyssa every week, no matter what, whether it's positive or negative. Alyssa is their girl. I don't know. No. I bet a lot of people, once this is eventually revealed on the show, are going to be like, what? They're going to be so confused. They're not going to understand that likely, as you said, Aaron and Caitlin probably see the most amount of votes, but we're already on the block. So then it basically goes to all the Alyssa haters who would be, you know, it's kind of like in the UK version where it's like vote to evict or vote to save. They're two very different things. You have different, you know, types of viewers who are going to vote to evict somebody because they hate them or vote to save somebody because they like them. So I bet it was a lot of the Alyssa haters, the people who are like, why is she getting all of this power every single week? Why does the whole show seem to revolve around her and their haters? They're going to be happy, but most of the viewing audience, I think, are going to be quite upset when they see Alyssa is on the block.
Yeah, Brian, so how did this happen? Do we know? I mean, I saw some stuff online where there were, I guess there were some Brentchel fans who got tricked and they didn't watch the episode and they voted for Alyssa. Or is it Alyssa haters? Is there an organized Alyssa hating movement out there?
There was a small movement to misinform people right after the vote was announced.
Oh,
they
no.
said, hey, go vote for Alyssa for MVP, you know, and it's the same people that were gloating about Brentchel fans being so stupid after she got nominated. So, yeah, that did happen, but to what extent makes a difference? I would think what Peter is saying about, you know, it being flipped, you know, we're going to vote to who to put up on the block. All of the pro-Alyssa votes were divided up against different people, and all the anti-Alyssa votes were combined. And probably a lot of stupidity involved with just people going to the site and just clicking it without knowing anything. So that's what happens.
Okay. Now,
change the rules, people don't understand.
Yeah, it takes us a week or two to figure out what's really going on. So now let me ask you about this. Now, a lot of people were tweeting me on Saturday that people felt like this was rigged and that Big Brother told Alyssa the rules of what really happened and that America put her up on the block this week. Now, do you know, Brian, did this happen and why are people saying this to me?
I don't know. I think they were just saying that because I heard some of these things and they were saying, well, Alyssa has just been acting so weird. Well, duh, she's been getting MVP every single time. And then all of a sudden she doesn't. And so, I mean, what's she supposed to think?
So what does the House think that Alyssa has gone up on the block? Who does the House think is the MVP and has nominated Alyssa?
Well, there was a lot of discussion about thinking that Alyssa was the MVP and she nominated herself. Caitlin even thought she had some secret power of coup d'etat, which is the reason she would nominate herself. But people are slowly coming around. Andy has the whole entire twist figured out. And I think he has Helen convinced that it was an America's vote. And he's even explained it to them how Alyssa could be the nominee based on how the rules were set up for the vote. So Andy is pretty sure that he knows what's going on, and he does.
Peter, do you like the MVP twist? I know in Big Brother Canada, and it seems like this was almost borrowed from Big Brother Canada, there was a lot more getting the audience involved, where you had the power shifts and all that sort of stuff. And this is really the first time, or I shouldn't say the first time, but usually the Big Brother US does not have as much interaction from America, save from the Eric Stein America's Choice season. Do you like this part of the game?
Yes and no. I don't like it because it is so clearly biased towards Alyssa this season. Now, if Alyssa's not in the equation, if it's Jackie, the random other girl who makes the show instead of Alyssa, and it is really a crapshoot every week to who is going to get this MVP and what ramifications are going to come from that, then it's interesting to me because anybody can get it at any time and there's a lot of speculation going around and it adds this whole unique element. This season, it's just let's give Alyssa a power every week and, you know, change the name of the show to Alyssa Decides Who Goes Home. Because that's literally what's happened 3 weeks in a row. So if it's not such a blatant kind of let's protect slash empower Alyssa thing, yes, I think it's an interesting twist. But not for this season. It's just become irritating at this point.
Can I do a non sequitur here to something else that I just remembered that I wanted to talk about? Did Spencer on Thursday give a shout out to Dave Grohl in his speech to save himself?
Yeah.
What? Does he know Dave Grohl or is he just a fan?
Good question.
I haven't heard that he's known Dave Grohl. That's the first I've heard of it.
Is he just a big fan of his music or is there another Dave Grohl?
Oh, that's a good question too.
Did Dave Grohl sign a release?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. And if Spencer wins HOH, will he get a letter from Dave Grohl?
Potential a lot of Grohl environment or interaction in this for Spencer. I don't know. Those speeches never mean anything. They're so like they seem like they're so valuable on the show, but in real life, those speeches are useless.
Yeah, I think I may I may take a page out of the Spencer book if I was on Big Brother. I think I may just do like a really big name drop, like, oh yeah, well, shout out to Tom Cruise. I mean, you're a great friend of mine. Also, Barack Obama, thank you. You know, you that all those late nights that we talk on the phone, you're really inspiring. why not, right?
Yeah, why not? I think it'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
It would be just as valuable as saying, hey, guys, I've had a really great time and I really want you to keep me. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Or whatever you did on Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, nothing. I stood up and was dead silent. No one's ever done that before.
No, nobody's ever done it before. Very memorable. All right. So Alyssa's on the block. Everybody's confused. And what happens in the veto competition, Brian?
Boom. Alyssa wins the veto.
Boom. All right, so as speculated on Thursday night, a very prophetic show, this vote this week may come down to who is America's fourth least favorite player.
Which could be anybody.
Yeah,
I don't know who that's.
Well, this is fun because normally we know. Okay, here's what's happening on the live feeds and on Sunday. Okay, oh, Jeremy's going home this week. So this is very open ended at this point. All right, who is going up on the block tomorrow?
Normally, the house guest would know by now who is going up on the block tomorrow, but they don't. I guess I would personally think that maybe Gina Marie has got the most votes.
Yeah.
I did notice a push when the votes were going on for Amanda to get voted for. So I'm also thinking, I think Amanda or Helen would bring the most drama as a nominee, but I'm thinking Gina Marie's probably going to be it, and they're probably going to take Aaron out this week.
It really will be very interesting to see. I would have to say that the leader in the clubhouse has to be Gina Marie, but who knows? I mean, this could be really, really interesting. A real like insight in like here's what I think happened. I think 99% of the votes were all for Aaron. Okay. Yeah. Nobody voted for anybody else. And now we're like splitting like the other couple hundred votes for everybody else. And like, really, this is almost like on Survivor where it's like playing the hidden immunity idol. And it's like America should have split their votes. And it's like we should have put like some of the votes on somebody else in the likely scenario that Aaron was going to go up on the block. And we'll see what happens. This really could be anybody on Monday.
Well, this is why America doesn't get to play Big Brother. It should be, you know, the 12 to 16 the house guests, because America as a player, we've seen, is quite terrible.
We'll see. Yeah, America really screwed the pooch on this one. So we'll see what ends up happening. Now, if we get this unholy situation where Gina Marie, Caitlin, and Aaron all end up on the block, who do we think goes home?
It'll be Aaron going home, most likely.
Do you think that the campaigning will get nasty?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Aaron will just buckle down and just understand that she's toast, but maybe she comes out guns blazing.
Oh, I think she's coming out guns blazing.
Or twisting up everyone's words or whatever she does.
Yes. Well, she's a Texas tornado. Yeah. Yeah, she's going crazy.
I would love to see that. I would love to see for her to just go nuts on everybody and then realize her value in the game. She's an easy out and everybody hates her. You keep that person around so you can get rid of them at a later date. Get rid of the threat or the unseen threat. That's a little tough to do this week because it's America doing it. But in any other scenario, utilize her to your advantage and not just get rid of her.
And who do you think that threat is, Caitlyn?
Could be, yeah. I mean, she's displayed her ability to be a comp threat. But again, she falls into the not well-liked portion of the house, too. You want to get rid of somebody who would be difficult to get rid of, and that's, you know, probably Howard or Andy, but Andy's not in any trouble at all. Like, he's off so many people's radars. But, like, it'd be going back to the Amanda thing, pushing for Howard, but that's obviously not going to happen. I did read one thing about the Aaron pointed out in the veto competition. It was some kind of, like, a puzzle board, like, numbers-based thing for cumulative points, and all of hers were so little, like, it was 2, 4, 6, 8, but all of, like, Alyssa's were 6, 8, 10, 12, or something like that. So the way that they were positioned, it was all, like, Alyssa wins, like, she auto-wins kind of thing.
Interesting. So this veto competition, it was the Taking Punishments veto competition. Brian, give us a quick rundown of the punishments that we know.
Okay, Judd got solitary confinement.
A la Dan Giesling?
Yes, but it's not a solitary dance party. He's locked up in the cockpit or the photo booth room.
A la Hayden Moss?
He's got an alarm clock that goes off every 9 minutes. So... Well, Ellen has a curfew for 2 days. She has to go to bed at 8 and till 5, I think, in the morning or something. She can't eat or talk to anyone.
Okay.
There was some rewards. McCray got $5,000. It reminds me, the way they talked about it, it reminds me of the truffle competition that Michelle, the nerdy scientist, won, where you find pieces of something and it's, you get numbers, and whoever's got the most points wins the veto. But there's some of them that has rewards or punishments on them.
Okay. Now, McCray, in addition to winning $5,000, he also celebrated a birthday in the Big Brother house this weekend. So, Brian, what did the house do to celebrate McCray's birthday?
Well, McCray's birthday is today.
Oh, happy birthday, McCray.
And he is planning to propose. Well, he says his birthday is today. I can't prove it, right?
Oh, could this be like a Alec fake birthday scenario?
That was a lot of fun.
I sent a message on Twitter to, like, his Loungetown friends about, is his birthday really while he's going to be in the house? Because I hadn't heard nothing about it, and I never heard anything back from him. So no one's confirmed anything for me. But while Judd is in solitary confinement, they want to surprise McCray with, you know, at midnight on his birthday, and Amanda gets dressed up as a dominatrix, and they make her a whip, and they sneak up and tie him up, or Howard and Spencer hold him down, and she spanks him with the whip. And it was fun for a while until Amanda and Alyssa started fighting.
Now, what are they fighting about?
Well, Amanda says that she was making catty comments about her looks. Amanda got upset thinking, being self-conscious about it or whatever. Alyssa kept talking about production and things, and we kept getting fish, so you couldn't really hear exactly what was being talked about. But I was under the impression that Alyssa was not happy about what was going on being family-friendly, and she wanted to, like, cut it out.
So Alyssa is mad that what's going on in the house is not family friendly. How dare she? Now I'm really that's really turned me against that. We got a girl in the house who wants to dress up like a dominatrix, and Alyssa is against this.
Well, she didn't come out fully against it. She was saying little comments that got Amanda upset, and Amanda eventually got up and left and went downstairs to the bathroom and cried for forever. And then the mean girls come and talked to her about it, and then they all started dumping on Alyssa. Alyssa was called to the DR and was stuck in there for like 2 hours, maybe to sober up, but her and Amanda were pretty drunk. And they kind of made amends this morning and blamed it all on Aaron.
Okay. So I saw some people also speculating online that tonight could be a crazy night if we get some more alcohol in the mix for the birthday party.
Yes, definitely, because...
What's the forecast?
Forecast is stormy conditions, probably. McCray wants a Keisha-style birthday. That's what he's looking forward to.
What kind of birthday?
A Keisha-style. Do you not remember Keisha's birthday?
I don't recall Keisha's birthday. Please enlighten us.
Well, Jesse had overheard Keisha and Libra talking about something, and I believe April was HOH or Ollie, not Ollie, but probably April. But she went up, Jesse went up and told them everything they were saying. And then she come down and confronted Keisha, and they all started fighting. Jesse off started fighting, and then they had that moment where, well, we're going to blow out the birthday candles or whatever. And they sang the happy birthday, which was really like everybody wanting to kill each other birthday song.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I remember that. It was super awkward.
All right. So anything else? Any other big things happening on the live feeds? And then we'll jump into some questions.
Well, I mean, maybe the biggest thing is the fact that Helen has been campaigning hard to whip votes against Amanda for a future backdoor plan. So if Amanda ends up going on the block, she could go home.
Okay.
At this point.
All right, well, I like Amanda in the house. I want to see her stay. I like McCray and Amanda, and I'm hoping that Amanda can really scale it back a little bit here, because I'd like to see her and McCray make a long run at this thing.
Yeah, and one thing, too, Judd has just recently been released from solitary confinement. He has said that he has a bunch of people he needs to talk to about what's going to happen, yeah. So maybe we'll know more in a couple hours.
But a la Dan Gheesling, 24 hours by yourself in sort of a high-stress situation could really change the way he's looking at the game. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out and he's like, whoa, 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 I got a whole different thing that I want to do here.
He was talking in confinement to himself about possibly turning on McCray and Amanda as well. So
that's not what I want to hear. So, I want to hear the opposite of that. Okay. All right. So let's take some questions. Let's bring in Scott St. Pierre, who's been following all of your questions here in the chat room and on Twitter as we go along here. And let's bring up the first question of the night. And this is from Mark Smith. He says, shouldn't they want to keep Aaron? Safe to assume she'd be the third nominee every week. Even they know she's not well liked by the fans. So this is back to your point, Peter, of keeping Aaron in the house.
Yeah, I think if they really start to look at it, that's the conclusion that they should come to. But everybody's going to get antsy, and they're going to think this is a free, easy week with an easy out. And they're going to go, well, just Aaron, and we'll worry about someone else later. Well, the problem is the someone else later can often become you. So I don't know. If Amanda's up, as much as I hate to say it because I don't want to see her go anywhere – maybe it is to their benefit to get her out because she's been, you know, she's really demonstrated that she's a player and she wants to be a player. Aaron can go at any time. She's always going to be nominated unless Caitlin or Gina Marie win HOH. Caitlin has the potential to do so, but I don't know. I'm taking option three if I'm them, or I'm going to try to push option three. So maybe Helen has the right idea.
Ryan, other than Amanda, is there anybody that America could nominate that might be a bigger target up there than Aaron? That the House would vote out?
I don't think so, but right now the problem is you can't read it because the game is kind of in a stasis or whatever because everyone is fearful of who's going to get nominated, and they're cutting deals with everybody trying to secure their own safety.
Okay, so
they can't
knows.
Really talk against anyone.
Okay, so what you're saying is that we might need to have an emergency podcast during the week to catch up on the nominations.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Sure. All right, here we go. This is from D.D. Gypsy. How badly has Amanda messed up her game by being too pushy? Is she capable of shutting up long enough to recover? This I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. Again, as I kind of said earlier, it's from her perspective, she probably thinks she's got all her ducks in a row. If she has no ducks or no rows after this week, she could be in a big time trouble if the house starts to shift against her. If they see her as a power player, they're going to want to, like, this whole season has been about getting people who are potentially valuable out. You know, David could have been a comp threat. Nick was obviously a social threat, an intellectual threat. And then Jeremy was a comp threat. It's all about getting competitive, you know, dangerous people out. Amanda's competitive and she's dangerous. She's very intelligent. So for this cast, that's awful news for her.
Right. Could you imagine going to go and buy a house from Amanda? It's like you go into a house and she's like, all right, here's this house. What do you think? What do you think of this house? Could we see? No, this house is fine. I think you should take this house. You've seen enough. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go sign the papers. I'll drop the paperwork. You come to my office. She's got to be like the toughest person to work with.
In that specific scenario, if it's her trying to sell me a house, I'm going to sign whatever she wants me to sign without right. even looking at the stupid thing.
Fair enough.
In there, sometimes you do have to dial it back. There's so many examples of too hard, too fast. And especially when you get overconfident, that's the worst thing you can do in there. Especially when it's so early, don't try to play the end game. At the beginning, it's still basically the beginning. You know, we're not even down to the single digit numbers yet. So McRae needs to snap her out of it, or she needs to snap herself out of it.
I'll use a hockey metaphor here for you for your national sport. It's the end of the first period here. Not time to pull the goalie, Amanda.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's a really accurate analogy. Super early, still a lot of game to play, still a lot of twists. We don't know if MVP is going to last the whole time. There's still so much up in the air, and she's playing as though she's working it towards the finale, and it's just not there yet.
Okay, a couple more questions. This is from Mr. Wonton 16. What happens to McRae if Amanda is evicted? Because it seems like no one is targeting him. I actually think this would be the best thing for McRae's game, would be to see Amanda go out.
But then who does he have left?
Nobody would worry about him. Then if they're targeted as a pair, if she's still there, then once she's gone, pencil McRae in there for the final four.
It's certainly possible. But I've heard, a lot of people predicted this to be a woman heavy, strong season at the outset. And it looks like that's going to happen. If Amanda leaves and then McRae's kind of, he might be the last guy to go. But I think that it's, I don't know. That's a tough one for me. Like, pairs are valuable. Having that automatic, always other vote, it's valuable. If he's floundering again, he kind of reverts back from when he first entered the house. He had nobody. Then they got the moving company, and then he got Amanda, and then he chose Amanda. If he goes back, then what other allegiances does he really have? Maybe he will be forgotten about, but I don't know. With this cast, he might find himself in trouble sooner than he would expect.
Brian, real quick, does McRae stand to benefit from Amanda being voted out?
Yeah, I believe he does, Amanda's the one that's what's drawing her a lot of attention is her communications with Aaron. And if Amanda goes instead, I don't understand why people think that in the house think that Amanda's a bigger threat than McRae. To me, it seems like McRae is the bigger threat.
Mm-hmm. If you profile the kind of people that do well on Big Brother, McRae is more likely to have success in this Big Brother game than Amanda.
I agree.
And he could win a whole range of type of competitions. So targeting Amanda is going to be bad news for whoever does it in the long run, I believe.
Well, I think so. All right, here we go. This is from Tyler Sloan. Instead of playing both sides of the house, Andy is playing 12 sides of the house. He shares a lot of information with everyone. Is this smart? I think it's pretty smart.
Andy's always in every conversation. That's what you read about him. He's always entering the room all the time, talking strategy all the time. So if he's acquiring as much information as he's giving out, he's all right. But if he's just gossiping all the time, that's going to end up turning bad on him. If he's getting information and if he's a little bit selective about what he's saying to whom, even though if he's talking to everybody, then he might be all right. But Liza kind of did that. Liza was in good with everybody, and then they caught on, and then they all turned on her. So that could happen to Andy as well.
And our guest next Sunday night is somebody who did get burned by that a little bit in her season of Big Brother. We're going to talk with Shelley Moore next Sunday night. And she was in with both sides of the house in her season before it ultimately caught up to her. But we will talk to her. And Shelly, in my emailing with her, she is very much hoping that Aaron goes home this week. She'd like to very much talk about Aaron's departure on hopefully this Thursday night. So that's going to be next Sunday night here on Rob as a Podcast. All right, two more questions. This is from Jacob Brabant. Two things. One, Peter reminds me of Eric Stein from Big Brother 8. Two, is it just me or is Jesse really playing the game really well under the radar with her ally Judd and is with the numbers? Am I crazy? All right, so let's take it first things first. Peter, who do people say that you remind them of? Because while you were in the house, we heard he's like Eric Stein, he's like Dan Gheesling, he's like Ian Terry. So who is it?
Those are the three that I get as well, and I've talked to all three of those guys. I also get Matt Hoffman. I also get him. He's the fourth one, but it's always those three first and then kind of him. To be in the same conversation as those three people, I think is extremely generous. Those are three of my favorite Big Brother people of all time. Again, to be mentioned in the same breath, I think is very positive for me. I don't know who I would be like exactly. I don't know. I don't know. It'd probably be some combination of those three guys, though.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny.
All right. So then as far as Jesse's game, is Jesse playing a good game?
She's playing a good, like, third juror game.
Floater.
Yeah. In a season that was supposed to be floater-free, she is, you know, the floater-to-be. Jesse's doing great. Nobody is thinking about Jesse. Really, or as far as I can tell anyway, she doesn't have you can say Judd is her secure alliance, I guess. She's not going to be targeted because she's by no definition a threat at all. So she could find herself in a position where people are like, well, no one's going to vote for you in the end. You may as well come along with me. And, you know, that could get somebody an easy win unless they take the stance of, no, if you're a competitor and you take the easy win, then we're going to vote for the other person. As in my season, we would have done had Emmett, Jillian, or Andrew taken Tala to the end. We were all going to vote for Tala just because it goes against everything that they stood for in the entire game.
Brian, do you agree, Jesse, not playing that great a game?
Not really, but she's not doing much. And she's not in danger. So, I mean, you can't say she's playing a bad game, but she's not really doing much at the same time.
Okay, still a lot of game to be played, so maybe she wakes up at some point. But we would like her to at least show Judd some affection, at the very least.
Yes. Yeah. Would agree.
I would like to see that.
Yes, okay. All right, here we go. And one last question. This is from Jode Lee. This is, will Caitlyn be the new Janelle, being a really good competitor and winning everything? She is always in the finals for HOH and won a veto. Somebody brought this up the other night. Why are we comparing Caitlyn to Janelle, one of the most beloved Big Brother players of all time? How are we comparing Janelle to Caitlyn?
I mean, I guess I sort of see it. They're on the other – Janelle was on the wrong side of the Friendship Alliance, and Caitlyn's on the wrong side of the Mom Squad. Caitlyn's very capable of winning any kind of comp, and so is Janelle. So I guess if you just go off, like, checklist of criteria, sure, maybe there is a comparison to be made. However, like you said, Janelle was extremely well-liked. And Caitlyn doesn't seem to be that well-liked at all unless you're a man and simply like her for being a very attractive and somewhat interesting woman.
And Janelle really knows the game, and we cannot say the same about Caitlyn. Is that fair, Brian?
I think the reason those comparisons are being made are because the comparisons for this season are being made about season 6. There's a real push to make some people the good people and some people the bad people. By some house guests, mainly Helen. So I think that may be why she's getting those comparisons. I said last week that I thought she was more like Lisa Donahue, which I don't even know if that's accurate, but
yeah,
I don't like to compare players.
One last question. We'll take one more. Okay, and then this is from Katie Beth Austin. Do you think the new alliance of Spencer, Howard, Gina Marie, Caitlin, and Judd will actually follow through, or was it fluff? Brian, so is this a real alliance? Spencer, Howard, Gina Marie, Caitlin, Judd.
This was a late night, early morning conversation where they formed what Caitlin said was the young Grasshopper Alliance, I believe.
Oh boy, it's a real reach.
A couple of hours ago, though, Caitlin stomped up to Howard and told him that, you know, he threw her under the bus and she stomped off. So who knows if that's going to work? I mean, there was suspicions whether or not that handshake deal or whatever for that alliance was even real to begin with.
And we won't hold our breath on that one. All right. So that's going to do it for this conversation this week. We will be back on Thursday night. Brian, myself, and Ian Terry live after the eviction. We'll see who is America's fourth least favorite house guest, and will they be going home? Find out on Thursday night live on Big Brother, and then join us afterwards at robhasawebsite.com. And then also Sunday night, I will be checking out, or tonight, in a couple hours, I'll check in with Kurt Clark and follow up on our Whodunit podcast and find out what happens at Rue Manor in episode number 5. And if you liked Big Brother Canada, you'll probably like Amazing Race Canada too. Did an Amazing Race podcast on Saturday night with our Amazing Race reporter Jessica Lees, and you can find that as well at robhasawebsite.com. All right, Peter Brown. So when are you headed down here?
I head down on July 27th. And I will be down there until August the 4th. It will be my birthday extravaganza, a 9-day super tour. Big Brother Canada meets Big Brother USA.
Have you hired a dominatrix?
No, but perhaps if Amanda is evicted by that point.
Yeah, Thursday night. Who knows?
You never know. Yeah. I mean, I'll be in the area.
Hey, and you'll be there. McCray will be in the house. Yeah. And, you could be interested in some real estate.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, I'm a McCray approximation to some degree. So maybe she'll be looking for that if, you know, she happens to be evicted.
Yeah, you could make that work for you. Part Dan Giesling, part Ian Terry, part Eric Stein, part McCray. Sure.
Because
you love pizza.
I do love pizza. So there's a lot of amalgamation going on. I can be her perfect Big Brother composite person.
All right. And if you want to check out the McCray's birthday party tonight, robhaswebsite.com/live feeds. All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. And if you have your own thoughts and theories on Big Brother, I always love to hear them at Rob Cesternino. And subscribe to this channel if you're watching us on YouTube. Have a great night, everybody. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.